We have invited Dwayne King to share a message. Dwayne is also one of our own, having married into the Antrim family about 2 years ago. Is that right? 2 years coming up on. And so this is a two-for-one deal. He's one of our supported missionaries, and he's a member of the body rising to share from God's Word for us. So would you welcome Dwayne to the stage as he shares with us today.
There we go. Wow. Good to see everybody this morning. I tell you, it's a fact. I love this church. I love your music. Thank you, choir. Thank you, those that have sung and shared with your heart in beautiful song. No wonder the Apostle Paul tells us to gather together like this, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What an encouragement. What a building up experience it has for us on a weekly basis. I praise the Lord. He gave me a wife that was one of your members here, still is, Kathy Donzilla, now Kathy King. And we were married right here about 2 years ago. April 14th. And so I have come to love you and to serve alongside of you, with you, and this church is going on to be a great ministry in this community. God bless you and those of you that serve and give of your time. Very important. How I love these servants of the Lord, Rob and Allison and Casey and Adam, and their wives and husbands, and what a joy it's been for us to be a part of you. Well, yes, we have come here. I didn't choose this place, but this place chose me. And I have, you know, spent 50-some years in Alaska as one of God's frozen chosen. And I've learned to find the places of this world, the farthest corners of this world. I am a pioneer, missionary, pilot, entrepreneurial in finding the places of this world that have not been touched with the gospel. Learning to love national people, native people, those who are in the farthest corners of villages and out into the wilderness of the uttermost parts of the earth. God called me from the uttermost parts of the earth to the place of the most utters. Did you get it? I was out to see Ivan Hisong's farm, 1,200 udders. So it doesn't matter what your ministry is, from the uttermost to the most utters. It can be being a farmer, tending to cows every day. Listen, look at this choir, filled with people of all walks of life who love the Lord Jesus and His name and are being changed and are growing in grace and in knowledge of the truth as they come here, hear the preaching of the word, hear the songs of praise and glory that come from the hearts of people that love the Lord Jesus. So we come, here we are. Look at you. We are people in every phase of spiritual growth. Some of us are just barely coming to know the joy of saying the name Jesus. Some of us, even though we have lived in this sort of circumstances, and worshiped in these sort of circumstances, are still growing to know the name of Jesus and what He really means to us in our hearts. And how Jesus motivates us to serve Him. And so this is kind of what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how we grow in this life. How we live for God in the long haul. Because it's a long haul. It's tough to keep solid, to keep focused on spiritual things in our lives. It's tough, but there's ways, and God's Word has ways in which we can learn and to find out how we can be faithful in the long haul. I was saved at 12, just up way in far north Pennsylvania, place near Montrose, Pennsylvania, a little Bible camp. I learned to love the ministry of Bible camp because I mean, it changed my life. There was that moment at 12 years old when I knew and I sensed in a Bible conference there on a Sunday afternoon, the pastor, the Bible teacher at Practical Bible Training School preached the Word of God, and I was changed. I sat right over here in that big sawdust trail of a tabernacle. I was moved. I was convicted of my sin. I knew it. I didn't understand everything. But there was that lightning moment in my life when it hit me. Jesus saved me by the death on the cross of the plaguing sin that had its grips on my life. I was saved. I surrendered at 17 in almost the same place. In a church just like this, Calvary Baptist Tabernacle, Vestal, New York. And the moving and the power of a missionary speaker's message changed me. And the story of Nate Saint and Jim Elliott, Roger Yoderian and Pete Fleming, those brothers who were pioneer missionaries out there in South America. How I thank the Lord for this church and your missionary vision. Look, we're something in every week. Somebody's going somewhere. Myrna is now on her way to Africa or is there. And, where is she? Are you going? I see the hand. Yes. She's still here. But she's going. And some of you will be going. But this church has a missionary calling, a missionary vision. And some of you will come to Alaska and serve alongside Kathy and I. So we have served since 1968. 50 some years. Finding the corners of Alaska, Canada, and Siberia where the gospel has not been preached. Why me? I hate the cold. I hate the cold. I'm cold here. But it's not about the cold. How warm it is when you get into a little cabin with some native people and you've got that hot cup of tea and you are there learning their language and finding out about their culture and their life. How warm it is in your heart when you see in their eyes the connection. The connection of the truth of the gospel and the hope. What a thrill it was for Kathy and I. This winter, going to the farthest corners of Siberia, and we were there in a little village that we had landed there for the very first time, our airplane that we have been building up. and sent to Siberia, and we trained the national Russian brother as a missionary pilot, a full-time missionary pilot. He and Kathy and I took off from the village of Pokrovsk, and we flew up the river in Yakutia and landed in a little village where there's no church, only two ladies that know Jesus as native ladies. These are Yakut women who found Christ in the city of Yakutsk only a few years ago, and they have gone back to their home. There they live with unsaved husbands. The unsaved husband came after we flew around the village, and the unsaved husband came out to the field full of cows and horses, which we had to chase away with the airplane by buzzing the pasture. And there we landed. And as we met with them at the table of food that they had raised, everything right there on that little farm. And we gathered together the sister, the believing sister, and the husband was right there at that table. She said, "Brat Duane." You know what that means? Brother Duane. A lot of the words are same. That's how I learned a lot of the English, how I learned a lot of Russian. I had a little book where I had 10 words a day that were really English words that were made sounding like Russian. Americanets. American. And many more words that I learned because they just put Russian endings on it. Anyway, Brat Devane, будет скажет, would you please speak слово для нас? Would you please speak something from the word for us? I said, конечно, of course. And so we gathered together in that living room of that little cabin. And as I shared the word, just 15 minutes of the gospel, I said, кто есть вопрос? Who has a question? And that man raised his hand. I had been watching his eyes, watching his demeanor, and I'd been watching him for 15, 20 minutes while we were there opening up the word. And the power of the word of God was so obvious. He didn't know, he had never had practice in hiding the effect of the word of God. He had never had practice of throwing up smoke screens. It was just raw power of the Holy Spirit at work in that little cabin. And he raised his hand. He said, у меня есть вопрос. I have one question. Is it possible? Это возможно, чтобы Бог будет прости моя личный грех. Is it possible God could forgive me of my personal sin? He didn't have a church like this where he had years of teaching of the Word of God. He didn't have a Bible study where people had explained him. It was just the raw power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit that says, I want to be rid of my personal sin. I said, absolutely. And I shared with him how he could pray and find forgiveness of his sin because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Listen. Nigde не будет лучше, чем тут. In Russian, that means, in English, that means, nowhere does it get any better than this. As a missionary, when you're taking the gospel to the places of the earth where it's never been understood, Myrna, she'll have that chance. Others, thousands of our missionaries are out there preaching the gospel to bring about these kind of changes in people's lives. So from 1968, this is what we did. I found that there was a way to take the gospel to places where the mere earthlings could not even make it, because 90% of the towns and villages and cities of Siberia have no roads. How do you get there? Fly. We fly. Anything that we can get our hands on. So, here I am. After serving, I was summoned. So from saved to surrendered to serve to summoned. I was summoned here by that lady. And she came to Alaska and she said, "What are you going to do the rest of your life, Duane?" As a widow, and I was a widower, after 54 years of marriage, Kathy came back into my life. You know the story, how she was saved in that same little town where I served for 10 years. Kathy was saved. And it was a thrilling thing how she came and said, "What about this?" So I've been surviving. As the founder and director of Kingdom Air Corps, 6 months in Alaska, 6 months here in the land of the udders. And now I am seeing more and more now God's future for Kathy and I right here for 6 months. God provided a hangar, an airstrip, out there at Rock Top Airport in Chambersburg. God has provided, that's out behind Corey Forrester's farm implement tractor New Holland dealership. God has given me a ministry with the whole Forrester clan, and I love those people. I gather together at their shop all of the time. I am enjoying very much this ministry of pioneering the gospel in these guys' lives right here in Pennsylvania. And so it is. And now the Lord has given me brothers here whom I love. Eber, Phil, Danny, and others that have been coming out to work with me in that hangar out there where now we have three airplanes are there that we're rebuilding and fixing. And preparing to go into the ministry. And these airplanes will be gone to some corner of the world from Chambersburg. How God opens up the way. I had no idea God would give me a church, a wife, a church, and a place to work, and a place to fly, and train missionary pilots right here in Chambersburg. So that's what we've been doing. So that's how it's been working out for us. And God will continue to lead us to serve Him in the far corners of the earth from Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, by your help and by God's grace. Thank you for this church. So turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now this is a powerful passage of scripture, and it's meaningful for us today because it gives us how we find ourselves accountable to God, responsible to God and the world, available and expendable for God's purposes in this earth, on this earth. And in chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2 we read, "Now we know what it is that if the earthly tent, our bodies that we live in, is destroyed, we know that when we die, we have a building from God, an eternal house, and heaven not built with human hands." This is our future of those who know Jesus as our Savior. This is the future of those children that we have and those grandchildren that we have when they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is the future. This is the hope that we have when we are gone. But until then, we have a purpose here on earth. Meanwhile, here on earth, we groan. Oh, man, groaning. You should have heard me for the last 3 months since my double knee surgery. Groan, moan, and complain. But little by little, I'm able to stand here. I feel those knees. Yes. But God has given me strength and given me less and less pain every day and more walking and going further and further with the hope that this summer I'll be flying again and working in the hangar and going for the name of Jesus. But in the meantime, groaning. Oh man, I just thought about Brian Hay. Oh, bless his heart, I saw him. He was at the meeting last night. Oh man, my heart goes out to him with his back pain. Some of you are here with pain and agony as well. But I thank God that you're here because you're searching, you're seeking to know God and know Him more and more by the teaching of His Word. Longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Yes, someday we'll be with Him, with Jesus. Someday we'll understand how the sufferings, the groaning, the moaning, the sin, the dealing with it is all for a purpose of moving us closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and our future home in heaven. And he goes on to say in verse 5, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Listen, today, just even in the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you have sensed and felt the work of the Holy Spirit. In some way, you have sensed the Spirit working in your life. Watching the people in this choir singing praises, you can see the power of the Spirit of God working in their life. How they are connected with spiritual truth through song and hymns and spiritual songs. You can see it. I can see it in some of your faces as I know the struggles that you are going through. Physical, spiritual, work, no work, financial difficulties. It's all over in this congregation, but there's a purpose for it. Because God is saying through every one of these times of moaning or groaning or difficulty, physical, God is at work. Even as we say, why, God? Why this pain? What are we saying? We're saying it to God. We know the presence of God. God has some purpose in it. And I want you to be encouraged today not to give up. Go the long haul. And he says in verse 7, we live by faith, not by sight. That's why we say why. That's why we say why. We don't know. We're just mere humans without the foreknowledge that God has. But in trusting in God, knowing He knows, we have peace. We have faith in what God is doing. It's a spiritual journey. It's a spiritual journey. It's a walk. It's a long haul. But you're in it. Thank God you sense that. That is your guarantee. Christ is in your heart. So we move on. And so we make it our goal in verse 9. We make it our goal to please God. We make it our goal to please God. Kathy and I were just at a marriage conference, so Marriage Weekend to Remember, up in Lancaster here a few weeks ago. They showed the video of this football player. And he was the laughing stock of the football team. And so the coach was trying to get this guy to put out everything. He was the biggest guy on the team. And so the coach took one of those guys on the team members, strapped him to the back, his back, and made him crawl all the way to the goal line, cheering him on, encouraging him, telling him, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. It was a thrilling thing. And by the time that guy reached the goal line, 100 yards of crawling, the whole team was up cheering for him. Those that mocked him and ridiculed him. Listen, some of us are like that. Some of us are out there trying to be the kind of people that God wants us to be, trying to be there pleasing him. There it is. And so, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. That's life, isn't it? This is the good or bad. This is the stuff. This is the failures that we have, the bad, the good. The good that we have are those moments in which we are drawn to the truth of the gospel. We are drawn to the truth that living faithful lives is what God really has for us as his purpose. The struggles, the moments of difficulty, the sweat, the moaning, the groaning, it is all for this purpose, to draw us to obedience and pleasing the Lord. He goes on to say in verse 11, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. So I love these moments in which we have these times of being scared to death, because we know what it is to fear the Lord, because we know what it is when God speaks to our minds and to our hearts and judges us, even now as we hear this message. I'd like to be that way. I would like to be that way, where I really was clothed with the righteousness. Listen, in your spiritual journey, and you watch the people that are singing with joy and with all of their hearts, as you're watching those that serve the Lord and go through the trials like Adam and Danielle have done, as you watch this and as you experience it, be encouraged, because God is at his work. Some have come from horrible backgrounds, terrible families, fathers and mothers that don't have any idea how to raise kids. Some of you have come from that. And you know it. But God, in his way, has drawn you into a congregation like this, where the word of God is preached and you are encouraged to keep going. Since we know what it is to fear the Lord, and by the way, last week's message by Adam is still ringing in Kathy's and my heart. It connected. Remember that? The pipe. Look at the bulletin this morning. What's at the other end of the pipe? Fruit. Growth. Look at our fields out there. Every day, driving down the road, the greenness is coming out in the fields. What farmer or non-farmer doesn't get some sort of joy out of seeing what's happening coming out of the ground? Because of water and growth. Kathy and I were on our way to Kathy and I were on our way to Harrisburg a Friday, and we were meditating over Adam's message. And the phone rings, and I get on the phone and I start talking, and Kathy is listening to my conversation. And I'm not consistent with what I'm telling this person on the phone with what I believe or what I think is right. And I hang up, and Kathy looks at me and she says, "What gives?" Just like you were saying, what gives? Because life is difficult, and these struggles of knowing how to respond to people. We make a lot of mistakes every day in what we say to our kids, to our spouses, and yet through it all, we can tell these stories about real life. So we are all struggling. Don't think that any of us up here have it all together and we are clothed with this heavenly clothes. No, we're dirty, rotten, no good for nothing bums. And yet God is at work and we are encouraged. We want to encourage everybody here today. And so he goes on to say, hear about the fear of the Lord. Boy, I just flipped through all these pages because I never used them anyway. You know what all this means? Absolutely nothing. And so once in a while we get a chance to look down and see what we're supposed to be saying. But when he says, we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. Fear of the Lord as defined in scriptures is a loving reverence for God that includes submission to the Lordship and the commands of His Word. That's living in the fear of God. We all have it. Those of us that know. That's why we have the Spirit of God telling us that is which is good and which is bad. And sometimes it's a struggle. It's a big struggle trying to know what we should do and what we should say. For Christ's love compels us. So we know the fear. We stand accountable before God. Christ's love compels us. We understand the love of God because He forgives us, and we have that warm sense of forgiving feeling. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that Christ died, and therefore He died for all. And then we know that as He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. We know, too, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that says, you got too much junk. What are you going to do with all that junk? That you spend day after day after day going and buying and using and storing and selling or taking to the dump. That big cycle. Waste of time. And then he goes on to say in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come. Here is a wonderful truth. Your life has been changed by the power of the gospel. Your life has been changed by the indwelling Spirit of Christ. Your life has been changed, though it's not been changed permanently. It's not that you don't ever struggle again. Some of you are struggling time and time and time again. I'm doing the same thing. But I'm growing. And sometimes this growth takes all of that life in the long haul. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. This is the hope that the people over in Yakutia and Russia and Swaziland and all of these places that we see these people, this is the hope. And we have the message. It's on our hearts. It's in our heads. It's on our shoulders, and we carry that burden. Because here's what he said. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us this ministry of reconciliation. I'm here telling you. I have the message. You are getting the answer. You can be reconciled with God. He is here. He is here. He is now listening to you. And gave us this ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Woo! You ought to see it when people from around the world get it. They get it. And they are relieved with the truth that they are forgiven. Forgiven. We are therefore Christ, and he has committed to us this message. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as if God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. This was the message that I gave that man who had never heard the truth in the middle of Siberia. What a relieving thing. What a marvelous thing. His wife whispered to me, bumping along on that pasture, going back to the airplane, she said, "Я никогда видел такие лицо, моя муж." I never saw this kind of look on my husband's face. He got it. He got it. How he can find eternal life in Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. You've asked us, you've given us your precious word. You've asked us to teach it, preach it, show it, live it. We thank you, Lord, for the encouraging truth that we find right here in this passage. Encourage, Lord, the hearts of each one here. If people are here today, Father, and they've never found forgiveness of their sin, we pray, Father, that they would find that today by calling out, "Lord, forgive me. Прости меня, Бог. God, forgive me." And I pray that there would be those that would do this and find themselves that this is the place, this body of believers, the reason why we've gathered together since the very beginning, this is the place we find the truth and learn how to grow in it with a desire that people will see it and hear it from us and know the Lord. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.